Mat Men is brought to you by El Yucateco. El Yucateco is everyone's hot sauce. Find out why they're the kings of flavor by going to elyucateco.com and using the offer code MATMEN at checkout to get 10% off your order. Hey everybody, welcome to Mat Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by Mr. Hot Buns himself, Rich Stambolian.
Yes, my buns are hot, baby.
Hot Buns.
What's going on?
A lot of other things are hot today. That being Mr. Hot, Justin Robert Young. You're Mr. Hot.
Mr. Hot.
You're Mr. Hot.
That's fine. I'm just Mr. Hot.
Just
I'll tell
Hot.
You what. You know, I buried my tag team partner, Mr. Cold. We used to be a team called Lukewarm, and now I'm just on my solo run.
That's actually perfect. Lukewarm.
Mr. Hot also sounds like possibly the worst indie wrestler name.
Mr. Hot, yeah. what territory were you guys totally. In? What territory was Lukewarm in?
Oh, Lukewarm definitely ran as like a very, very, very forgettable Rock and Roll Express foil.
That's actually perfect. That's exactly how I would book it too. If we were to book a ripoff Rock and Roll Express tag team, it would be called Lukewarm, and they would have had a small run. All just like really raggedy Rock and Roll Express leftover clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
There needs to be. I feel like that's also. Elias Sampson, he's going to get repackaged as a guy named Lukewarm.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about. Of course, Justin Robert Young from the 1-900 Wrestling Podcast, which I was on Monday. You can go check it out wherever Justin is. Where did you post it? What's the website?
And you guys were great on that, by the way. Well, I mean, of course, probably the easiest way to get it is wherever fine podcasts are distributed. So iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, stuff like that. But other than that, you can go ahead and check out the video either on my YouTube.com/Justin Robert Young or watch it live at twitch.tv/Justin R Young.
I want to go into a lot of pro wrestling, but before we do, we got to talk about our new sponsor, guys.
Yes.
We got a sponsor. And this is, by the way, we're not talking mattresses here. Okay.
No.
We're doing something really interesting. We're not going to go with a company that we personally don't use.
Right.
I'm a big fan of these guys. A couple months ago, we met them over Twitter. They emailed us and said, hey, can we send you a couple of things of hot sauce, which we spoke about.
Yes.
El Yucateco is the company that we're talking about. And we've hooked up with them. We're running this ad campaign with them. And these guys are unbelievable. I got the hot sauce cam in the studio now. This is what we're doing. We're getting really radio-like. Guys, El Yucateco is the number one habanero sauce in the U.S., This is an awesome. I mean, you know which one's my favorite, actually? The Chipotle is by far my favorite. Which one was yours?
The Caribbean.
The Caribbean was your favorite.
Yeah.
These guys are unbelievable. Wherever you go in the city, if you are going to a top-notch Mexican restaurant, guess what you're going to see there on the table? El Yucateco hot sauce. They are unbelievable. They have their own habanero fields. This company's been around since 1968. It started off as a small family business and exploded into the kings of hot flavor. The kings of hot sauce, the kings of flavor these guys are. You know, a lot of places, a lot of hot sauce companies, they judge how good they are internally with how hot they are. These guys don't do that. You know what? You're going to get the hot if you want the hot, but it's all about the flavor. They use whole fruit of the pepper, and they are non-vinegar-based hot sauce. So listen, I'm a big hot sauce guy. Absolutely love them. When they sent this, I was like, you know what? Let me try them out because I know the company and I put it on. These guys are unbelievable. They got a huge range of products, all different types of hot sauce. I got them all here. Let me see. Here we go. I want to try the black one, the black label.
The black one's really good.
I have not tried the black label one. I'm dying to try this one out. I actually have to hide this in my house because this entire thing will go missing. I swear to God. Like within a week, it'll be all out.
Who's the addict?
Intern Deacon.
Yeah.
Intern Deacon comes here, big hot sauce guy. Literally, he will. The Chipotle one, I'm not even joking. I wish I was.
Yeah.
This isn't part of the by the way. This thing, it was down to here within 3 days.
Was the last time we got it?
The last time we got it. It was done. I barely had any, and it was unbelievable. Guys, if you are looking to buy some hot sauce, next time you go to the store and you buy it, check out El Yucateco. You could also get 10% off. If you go to elyucateco.com, you get 10% off on gear and everything else that they have. In the store, they're offering a great deal, 10% off when you use the code MATMEN at checkout. Tweet them, let them know you heard about us. That's El Yucateco. I want to thank them.
Thanks, El Yucateco.
Thank you.
So I am a hot
We're
going to
be doing
addict.
Some cool things with the hot sauce.
Yes.
And also, we're going to be doing some giveaways. We got a couple of cool things here to give away. Mm-hmm. Next week, we'll announce a giveaway.
Dude.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great. That's you know what I love hot sauce the most? What? Eggs.
Yeah, me too. Eggs. Yes. Absolutely. In the morning.
Best way to do it.
That's what I did this morning.
Actually, you know what? They say it's really good if you're dieting. Like, I do that crazy egg diet in the mornings, mm-hmm. and I would put a tiny bit of this on it, on the egg.
Yeah.
It fills me right up.
Yeah.
Tip from Andrew. It's dietary tips.
Good stuff. I put hot sauce on everything, so
everything, yeah,
I do.
Right.
It's weird.
was there a wrestler named Mr. Hot Sauce ever?
I don't know, but there is Tracy Williams.
Who is full? Oh, Hot Sauce. Yeah, Tracy Williams. Yeah. Maybe they should contact him. We had Elimination Chamber on Sunday.
Fantastic.
I thought that main event was fantastic.
Let me ask you guys, what was this? This is for both of you. In my opinion, this could have been the best Elimination Chamber they've ever done. What do you guys think?
I'm trying to think of this, right? Like, I said that on Twitter, and I got a lot of people that said that the best one was the one that John Cena got eliminated first. And when you ask them... But when you ask them specifically what else happened, they can't really tell you.
Right.
So, but this was a great match. They really used the entire, I guess, cage.
Yeah.
Cell. They used every part of this thing. People are complaining that there's padding now. They're like, well, it's padded on the outside. Well, you know what? If these guys, I don't care. Why do you want to see them get hurt, number one?
Exactly.
Number two, they use the outside way more, and they use the top of that, the capsule way more.
Yes.
More than they ever did before. They did some really awesome things.
They did a lot of cool stuff, and I think one of the things that was great is that Cena really put his all into it, and that one part where he did the leg drop, and the guy in the crowd was like, don't kill yourself, John. And he did anyway.
Yeah.
Also, if I have to hear Mauro Ranallo say Mamma Mia one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out.
Pour hot sauce.
Just
all over.
Because it's a little
that
too
is,
much.
That is a controversial thing. And by the way, if you hit him up on Twitter, he'll block you immediately.
About Mamma Mia?
He's a sensitive Twitter follow, man. Mm-hmm. Do you guys follow him on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually tweet with him back and forth all the time.
He retweets a lot of compliments, which is very nice.
Yes.
He talks very openly, apparently, about his depression, but also is sensitive to the Mamma Mia thing. Because really, all you know is what he's retweeting. And so you'll just see a bunch of retweets of like, man, I don't know what that guy's talking about. Like, I love Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Like, that, nine different retweets. So
he's interesting. He's an interesting guy. I don't know if what's going on with him, because that four-man announce team that he's part of, when they added the fourth guy.
Who's it? It's JBL, Atunga, and Tom Phillips.
And Tom,
Tom Phillips is like scrub of that group, though, which is kind of funny.
You know, originally he was only supposed to be there to do those like after-segment things, like comments on a match, and now he's talking a lot more.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening. Justin, what was your opinion? Give me your opinion on that cell match, because I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was fantastic. I'm with you guys. I think if you want a more athletic Elimination Chamber match, then you need to put the padding down there. If you want the Elimination Chamber to be more of a street fight, then you have them walking on metal grates. But you can't really have both. It's either going to be a kind of very weapons gimmicky sort of brutality match, or it's going to be what it was. And I personally would prefer what we saw on Sunday. You've got a lot of guys that are more athletic than they've ever been. You don't really need to have the cell kind of do the work in the same way that Hell in a Cell can do. So I thought it was fantastic. And really, I think it highlights not only how good SmackDown is specifically, but also just the WWE in terms of their age and talent and experience level, because they did a great job of just mixing everybody's strengths in that match. Miz was a great version of Miz. Baron Corbin was a fantastic version of Baron Corbin. And that's before you get into the guys that you know can do it, like Dean, Bray, John, and AJ.
Yeah. Who do you think stood out? I mean, to you, Dirch.
They did a really good job of leveling the playing field. And we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks on the show, where like SmackDown has an interesting thing with their booking where they're elevating everybody and they're doing a really good job of it. And this did nothing but further stories. I would say Cena was a great standout AJ, of course, and Bray, like the last three dudes, you know, like those were the guys. Everything else got kind of pushed the momentum forward going into WrestleMania. I'm really liking the Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin thing. I think Baron Corbin's walking out of Mania as the IC champ.
You think Baron Corbin's going to out of Mania? Yeah. That might be a good feud, and that's fine for him, you know?
And plus, like, the lead-in they did to that feud, moreover, on Tuesday was fantastic with, you know, Dean about to face James Ellsworth, and out comes Corbin holding Dean by the jacket, you know? So they're kind of making him, like, a legitimate badass. The big men are making a comeback, by the way.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. Listen, you need those big guys. You need those. You can't have tiny guys everywhere.
Yeah.
I had a realization watching SmackDown. I think the Mania match between Baron and Dean is kind of a bit of a make-good, I don't know who, if it's like from WWE or whatever. It's the match that Dean wanted to do with Brock Lesnar last year.
Oh, right? Interesting.
It's going to be a street fight.
Yeah.
It's going to be big, brutal, millions of weapons falling from the sky, like just like one of those, the stuff that, I mean, according to Dean's interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, he wanted to do, and Brock Lesnar was like, yeah, about that. How about I just give you the F5 and we go home?
Yeah. Yeah, I was not very much impressed with that whole entire thing. But we knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. You know, we know what everybody's program was. Rich, you have the card in front of you, right?
I do have the card in front of me.
Well, let's touch on some of the things that stood out. We'll go quickly so we could talk about Raw and SmackDown.
The Becky Lynch, Mickie James match was excellent. I thought it was a lot of fun.
The Mickie James, yes. Mickie looked great.
Mm-hmm.
She worked really, really good.
They
got to turn her, right? Like, there's no way she's going to stay as a face with that theme. It's impossible. Like, how do you not? How do you? Like,
hey, Mickie, you're so fine. Yeah. You're so fine. You blow my mind. You're evil. Bye.
But, yeah, how do you do it? How do you boo Oh Mickey You're So Fine?
Yeah, it's they need to Nevilleize her theme. Just make it like a really sad version.
Make it
of
slow,
that song.
Slow it down, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. My bathroom break match was Dolph Ziggler versus Apollo.
You hate him, huh?
You can't
do it anymore.
I can't deal with Dolph Ziggler anymore. I'm done, buddy.
Poor guy. I mean, you know what? I brought it up on 1-900 Wrestling on Justin's podcast on Monday.
Yeah.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah, phenomenal name.
Hey, thank you.
That Dolph had so, like, if at this point, when Dolph was special, there's 5,000 other guys that are even more special than him. The Finn Balors didn't exist in WWE. The Nakamuras didn't exist. The AJ Styleses did not exist in WWE. And now you have this unbelievable talent pool that's way better than Dolph Ziggler as a character. I mean, as a worker, Dolph is great. But it's only so much Dolph you could do with, and they turn him, and it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know what would be cool about Dolph? I could book him right now. Get him over.
Do it.
Okay, Justin, you right?
Yeah.
So you tell me if this would work. Dolph goes away a little bit and grows a beard, because that's my answer automatically. That is my go-to.
Immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like hit the gym, get a little tan, oil up, you know, go down to the Carolinas and start a new gimmick. No, mine is, leave TV for a couple months, get jacked up, grow a beard, come back on TV with guys from his era that were considered good workers. So anybody from like that 2011 group, right? Like The Miz, him, Zack Ryder, Kurt Hawkins. Put these guys in a stable saying, we busted our ass for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we were here every single day and you guys turned on us.
Yeah.
We have two former world champions here. Zack Ryder was your darling. Now you don't even care about him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody remembers Kurt Hawkins and the matches he put on. I don't know what matches Kurt. I'm sorry, Kurt. I love you. You're from New York. You're from Bayside. I love you, but I can't even remember. But you create the stable of like WWE guys, and you go up against, you know, the Kevin Owenses and the Sami Zayns.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something different with him. Like you got to have people say, okay, you know what? I don't like him for this reason. Not because I just don't want to see him.
Yeah. Ever since we've been doing the show, you know, in the last few years, you've gotten these amazing signings and amazing matches, and all these personalities are showing up under the WWE umbrella. And we've always talked about that it's bad news for Dolph Ziggler, for a guy like him and a guy like Sheamus, because it's like, how do you, like, When Ziggler was the big fish in the small pond, so to speak, he was the guy putting on those big matches and having those big moments and doing all this cool stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's like the influx of, like, the Shield started it.
Yeah.
And then,
was that the start? Justin, you think that was the start of it?
The Shield? This is the rise of Dolph Ziggler coincides with kind of my blank spot of wrestling fandom.
Okay.
But I will say, here's what I think it's simpler than what you said, although I'm always a fan of growing a beard and going to the Carolinas and getting your mojo back.
Yeah.
I just think Ziggler is better when he's not the focus. He is he's like one of those basketball players that he's fantastic when he's your third or second scorer. It's not your team's in trouble if he's your number one.
Are you saying that he's our Derek Harper?
Yeah,
he is. He's better when he's the Derek Harper, right? Especially considering that he can put on great matches, but he does have this weird connection thing with the audience. People have a reaction to him. It's just a matter of getting him in the right place. I've said this. There was a moment during a SmackDown match a couple weeks ago where both him and AJ came off the back wall and I think elbow dropped or leg dropped somebody through the announce table. Bullet Club. Put him in the Bullet Club. Put Gallows and Anderson and AJ back on the same show.
Yep.
Have him be the new member. Four-person stable. Immediately you ensconce him in this other thing. You could just focus on him being an asshole and a wrestler, and that's what he's best at.
See, that's an interesting thing, too, where we always talk about how as talented as Ziggler is, and it's like it's an interesting point of contention on the show and the people who watch us, is that you can put him in a great feud with anybody, and for some reason, at the end of that feud, it will just be the most deflating event like ever. And it happened twice in the last year. His feud with The Miz, when he was cutting all those great promos, it kind of just fizzled, and his feud with Ambrose, which was great, and again, cutting great promos and having good matches, and all of a sudden it was like, here comes the blow off, and it was like, well, okay. You know, Dean Ambrose Ambrose.
I will agree with Dean, but the Miz thing was perfect. The Miz thing, I think he was damn near unsalvageable coming out of SummerSlam, and at the beginning of that Miz feud, everybody was just yawning so hard they broke their neck, and by the end of it, he had something going. The only problem was is that they were both shining, and Miz was just doing better work. So even then, he was the bridesmaid.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So let's take a minute. So, Rich, you want to continue on with the card? What else stood out to you?
The tag team turmoil match was okay. It wasn't, you know, it's interesting how Raw has the better tag teams.
Do they?
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's an even split, man. Like, I feel like,
you know, the original idea was that some belts, like when they did that split, it was still very convoluted.
Yeah.
When they did that split originally, they had the idea that some titles would be interchangeable. So some people would perform on both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be one title. Like, you would have two world titles,
right,
and then you would have one women's title. And then one tag title.
Right.
And then you might add, you know, the U.S. and then the cruiserweight. So, like, you've kind of balanced out titles on each thing. But now they've kind of split. You know, think about the WWE and their tag division right now. If they hadn't done the brand split, you would have had the Club, American Alpha, the Usos, which I love now, by the way. Love the promo on SmackDown. I'm all about them.
you like late 90s P. Diddy hip-hop Usos?
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Fisheye lens.
Yeah, fisheye lens. Yeah. I want every single Uso promo to look like the Missy Misdemeanor Elliott music video for
It's My Window.
Oh yeah,
the big.
I'll tell you what, Jay's doing his best to get that big inflated trash bag look.
Oh, yeah. Still in better shape than everybody we know, probably.
Yeah.
Oh God, Christ! You kidding? I mean, like, what is that? The line in Pulp Fiction? He's Samoan. What is he gonna do?
Yeah. The tag team stuff was okay. Like, it wasn't American Alpha. I feel they're clearly the best team on SmackDown, and the Ascension, I feel like they're kind of turning the tide a little bit.
I
like the match because it legitimized the Usos as terrifying drug dealers and actually made people care about the Ascension. That match led to the Ascension. You know, sure, they lost, but they got their entrance. They looked good. People talked them up. I thought it made more at the end of it than there was at the beginning of it, which I think is the success.
I cannot for the life of me remember the Nikki Bella versus Natalya match.
I love that. I thought that was just because it was surprising, because I could give a shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, it was pretty brutal. I liked it.
I'm waiting for Natty to just look at Nick and be like, well, at least I'm not barren like you. You know, that's the point that it's getting to right now.
Yeah. Well, I think they're trying to recreate the Shawn Michaels Bret Hart feud between them. Where it gets.
So you think Natalya's going to accuse John Cena of banging Sonny?
Yeah, well, sure. it's getting kind of real. The other thing that was it you that pointed it out, Andrew, was what? That they're in the same room for that promo.
They were in the same room for that promo. You know how I realized? I heard the audio leaking.
Yeah.
So they were literally sitting next to each other, which is great.
Randy Orton versus Luke Harper, apart from the Elimination Chamber, that's my match of the night.
That's your match of the night.
17 minutes, man. 17 minutes. Who'd have thought these guys would have put on such a great match? I feel like Luke Harper's going to get that title within a year.
Luke Harper is maybe, I mean, I don't know.
It's the rise of the big men.
You think so, huh? You think so. This is what's happening?
I think that's what's happening.
Justin,
think,
what do you think? The rise of the big men happening?
I mean, I it kind of looks possible that he's in that match with Bray and Randy at Mania at this point, right? Like, I thought it was great. Here's my question to you, Andrew. Does as a body obsessive, does he need to get a more form fitting shirt? Not spandex, but just something that doesn't
Braun?
Billow off him. Luke Harper.
Luke Harper.
Like an old colonial ship sail. Just kind of.
I want him to wear like the Seinfeld puffy shirt. I think he should wrestle in a puffy shirt all
the time.
With like French cuffs?
With French cuffs. No, like the pirate. Yeah, the pirate shirt. That's what I want it to be.
It's a pirate shirt, and you know what that means.
I love Luke Harper, man. I'm glad that he's getting a chance. And this is the thing about SmackDown is you look at this card, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know what? It's a very limited roster that they have. It's not like Raw where it's bloated up with Brock Lesnar's and Bill Goldberg's and Triple H and all these guys. Think about their top, like the top two guys. There's two top guys. John Cena, AJ Styles.
Right.
Now you have Bray as a champion, which is great. But they don't have like legends.
Well, Randy Orton and John Cena are close enough to be legends.
Sure, but you don't need to because they utilize guys like Dean Ambrose,
right.
Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, really well. Baron Corbin. Yeah. I mean, the dude, they did absolutely everything to make this guy look so strong in that Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
He was in there for what, like a couple minutes?
Yeah, it's, the match minutes? Went 35.
Yeah, but he wasn't in there for the whole... He was in there for like 6-7 minutes.
Yeah.
And he got the spot where Miz was terrified to come out. You made him look like a monster. He cleaned house. And then he got rolled up and pinned.
Yeah.
You know,
and they set that up so well. Like they had these little, between on the mic and on commentary, like this little mini Baron Corbin Miz feud that paid off in that chamber. It was great.
Yeah.
Both those guys are freaking great. Baron Corbin's going to get that IC title. What I think for Mania, what's going to happen between the Wyatts is that Randy gets his way. With Harper and Bray going at it. That's the end of the story, that Randy is the master manipulator.
And he ruined the entire family.
Right, he's the perfect snake.
So is he the heel, or is he a good guy?
I think he's the heel. Okay.
Yeah, I think he turns right before Mania. He reveals himself to be the snake, and we get maybe a triple threat, or it's just one-on-one, but Luke winds up coming back to Bray, and they are both baby faces singing "I Got the Whole World in My Hands" in Orlando.
That'd be amazing. I want Randy to come out and from a giant snake head at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's like a big that snake opens its mouth, and Randy Orton's just standing there.
It just comes out. Yeah, perfect.
He's in a forked tongue costume.
Can he go back to his old theme? Because they started teasing it at the beginning of the Wyatt entrance, like with Randy, and they started teasing the old theme for a little bit.
Yeah.
I want him to go back to that old. I hate the voices in my head nonsense.
It's too iconic. It's too iconic now. I want him to come out in the full Ralph Fiennes Voldemort makeup.
Yes.
That'd be perfect.
Just comes out.
Like, total perfect. Character change.
Yeah, and he's like peeling off, like, in his very, like, slow, sexy mm-hmm. Randy Orton way, like the makeup so from his face.
So sexy.
Randy Orton looks like a heavy breather to me.
You think so?
Oh, totally.
If you're standing in, you can. If you're in the same room with him, you can hear him from across the room. Yeah. Naomi beat Alexa Bliss. Great match for what it was.
It was fine.
Good
was
for okay. Naomi.
It was good for Naomi. You know, she's. You know what bothered me? The whole. They put the title on her, and this is obviously leading it to something else, and that's good. But the crowd. You know why she got the title, actually? Because she's from Orlando.
Yeah.
They want the hometown girl to have the title, and it gives her a little bit of a rub, and people chant, fine, why perfect, yeah. Perfect. That women's, I did not see that coming, though. I did not think she was going to win.
Yeah.
No, neither did I.
I called it.
You
I
did call it. You love her, though.
I do.
You love the rave entrance.
I love her.
By the way, I'll tell you this. From being in the Alamo Dome for the Royal Rumble, that is a big entrance. Like, I could see why they want to, if they're, you know, for Mania, like, that they want to make sure that that's a big part of it because it's gigantic, it's visual, the crowd gets into it. It's pretty rad.
Did you freak out when they had like, a guy in a golf cart bring these guys to the ring?
I was shocked that everybody else didn't know it.
Nobody knew. We had no idea on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because it was like kind of old school to me. I kind of really liked it. It was like when they would be on the platforms and they would like bring them out like the little mini rings.
I thought, you know, it's so funny because I could already envision what happened, right? Because remember, it was just some old dude and a golf cart. Like, there was nothing special about it. No. They didn't dress it up or anything. It was literally a golf cart with like the back open. And they did the practice run in the arena, and they're like, oh, shit, it's going to take some of these guys
forever,
like 3 minutes to walk down. Like, yeah. The Undertaker, no way he's going to walk down here.
Big Show, same thing.
Big Show, same thing.
Forget it.
So somebody came up with the idea. He's like, do we have any golf carts in this arena? They're like, yeah. He goes, all right, who could drive it? And he goes, oh, Lou's the one that drives it all the time. And he goes, all right, get Lou. And it's this old dude just driving these guys back.
It's like an old guy in a tuxedo. Especially, like, that's interesting because, like, it makes so much sense, and we didn't see it coming. But for a dude like the Big Show, because of, like, he's following the cadence of his theme. So
he can't, like, hurry and walk.
They'd have to play the theme twice for him to make that walk, and all you would hear is, like, bop, 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 and him just kind of lumbering toward, you know. That was hysterical.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I will say this. In the arena, Big E, apparently on Twitter, also was like, well, I think it's the company telling me I'm fat when they said that I had to be on the card. But I thought it was part of the show because when he came down, he was like doing the Queen Elizabeth wave mm-hmm. to the crowd as he was doing it. So
you thought that was like his special entrance?
I just thought it was that was everybody. It was like all right, well, some of the guys come down on the golf cart just to make sure that they and you can kayfabe it. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. Big Show requested that he get into the arena.
His personal driver, Phil. 78 years old.
78 retired. Years young.
78 years old. And what else have we ever read?
That's it. And then the chamber match. That was it, man. It was a solid, I would say, overall, I would say it was a B+.
Okay.
I am giving an A+ to that chamber match.
I really, really enjoyed it. Now, let's go to Raw.
Let's go to Raw.
I thought Raw was a very good show.
Excellent show.
Yeah, they did a great job on Raw. We got a lot of things that happened. Mick Foley was not there.
No.
Foley was not there. Steph took every opportunity to beat the shit out of Teddy Long, like she always does. I really want to know what's behind that. Like, she really gets off on just shitting all over him.
Yeah.
Is she shitting? You don't think that's just like soccer mom wanting to repeat the rap lyrics?
No. She shits on Teddy Long. Remember when Teddy came out a couple, like, before the split happened, and he was doing the whole thing, and Stephanie just treated him like a total dummy? And was just not even, it wasn't even like Steph using her mom voice on him. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, you're a doofus. I really think Stephanie thinks that he's a total idiot.
Really?
And takes every opportunity to shit on him.
I think that it is definitely, because Triple H did a thing not too long ago too, where he announced some crazy tag match and they wound up playing the Teddy Long thing afterward. I think that if there's one meme, one internet meme that at the very least Triple H and Stephanie are sensitive to is the Teddy Long, you know, like, you're going to be in a six-man tag match and the team that wins one-on-one with the Undertaker player.
That's a pretty good Teddy Long.
That is a really good Teddy Long. We almost booked Teddy Long on the show a couple months ago, and we realized that it was not Teddy Long. Like 90% through the booking of Teddy Long.
It was just some dude. Geez.
It was some dude that got verified as Teddy Long, and it was not Teddy Long.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But he remained in character, and at some point we were like, I don't think this guy's the real guy.
Like, wait a minute. Why would I have to do a one-on-one match with The Undertaker?
Yeah. Why is it? All I want him to do is come on the podcast.
So the show starts off with Roman versus the Club.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I'm just glad the Club didn't need a pin. Like, as long as it's like, listen, cheat to the bell and then Roman fights out, fine. As long as the Club didn't have to eat a 2-on-1 pin, I was very excited.
I bought that Gallows and Anderson shirt, by the way.
It's a beautiful shirt. Like, I love it.
Almost immediately, I was like,
I want to do one for us like that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Rich and Andrew. Mm-hmm. Dude's just walking around with the name Rich and Andrew on it.
Put our heads on it, too.
Yeah. By the way, I this weekend, foolish of me to have it take this long, but just got into their Talking Shop podcast, and with Jericho.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's hysterical. So good. The last one was great with Enzo.
Oh, geez. Yeah, no. Yeah. And just the fact that they've been doing the same, like, you know, I went back and I'm like, oh, that was a really funny song that he came up with, a Grizzled Young Vet song. And then I listened to the first one and they're making Grizzled Young Vet jokes.
It's a one bump comeback, or did he forget?
Yeah. What was the next segment? It was Kofi versus Bo Dallas, which is kind of interesting. I tweeted this out that I feel like somebody told Bray Wyatt, listen, we're going to put the belt on you, but your brother's basically going to be Al Snow from now on. And then, like, that's it. That's it for Bo.
So that was a terrible match, by the way. The Cesaro and
Enzo
match. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible, terrible, terrible match.
I think Enzo would be the first to say that he's not the best worker.
He needs to become a manager. I know that they're really against managers. They don't like the whole guy manager thing, but they need to make him a manager because he's so much better as a mouthpiece and like this chicken shit manager.
Yeah.
That, you know, he has his big mouth and he gets cast into trouble all the time. And you can keep that dynamic. Keep them as a face and do that dynamic. But and maybe once in a while in a tag match.
That's going to happen.
But but you can build him up. It's like the thing is what he's not the best at is the kind of like the match that we saw him in, a random match on Raw, right? Like, like that's where he's going to get exposed because his mechanics just aren't there because he hasn't done it for so long. But if you know, he can put together the one big match where they put together all the crazy spots that everybody wants to see, you know, and he certainly work in a tag match where he basically, because he can sell, he can get his ass kicked.
Right. But that's, you know, I think him moving to a manager role will happen when the full-on rise of the big men happens and Cass is thrust into the main event picture. Because that's an eventuality that will happen.
That's gotta happen next year.
Yeah.
You're going to see at some point a main event will be Big Cass versus Braun Strowman.
Oh, we're going to see
for
that.
Something.
Yeah, of course we're going to see. You know what the thing about Big Cass is? He's getting better in the ring, but his promos are not getting better.
Okay.
Like,
what do you mean the promos aren't getting better?
I think they want to keep him. Because when you hear interviews with him, he's a very eloquent and smart guy. But on TV, they're like, all right, you're Billy Gunn now. Like, you just say something kind of catchy, and that's it. And people like it because you're gigantic and blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the future for them is at this point with that. Let's talk about the Friends. What was on that thing? The Friends celebration?
Festival of Friendship.
The Festival of Friendship.
Yeah. Amazing segment. I would say one of my favorite Raw segments of all time. Jericho crossed over into like Steve Martin territory as far as humor goes.
Yeah.
The dude was unbelievable. The art pieces, the Michelangelo painting. Him saying it's art, you don't need pants, genius. And KO, man, I don't know how that dude kept a straight face.
I have no idea how he kept a straight face throughout that entire thing, but he did unbelievable, and it was so believable, you know, the turn.
Yeah.
And it was done so well where he's like, why am I on this list?
Which is funny, because it is just this Looney Tunes ending,
right?
The fact that he has the exact prop, that it's like, you know, for what turns into this very kind of emotional, brutal ending to that segment. The fact that we have to imagine that Triple H says something to Kevin backstage and is like, hey, by the way, you got to turn on Chris. We're about to like initiate Order 66. Also, here's some rubber cement and your logo. Please put this on the back of another list and hand it to Chris and write his name on it. It's like, it's so silly, but it was beautiful. It was poetic. It was perfect. And what made it even better was Jericho, who has just been this over the top guy, getting in. He was Chris Irvine or whatever. And he's just talking about how much fun he's had on the road. And it just felt so believable and so amazing leading to that. And then all of a sudden, finally the return of big sociopath Kevin Owens,
which is what we need right now too. After that whole segment, there's a ton of memes going around saying like Kevin Owens is a terrible friend, and it's all the times he turned on Generico.
Yeah,
how he turned on Sami Zayn, and then how he turned on Jericho, which is pretty funny. The Samoa Joe sit down interview, probably the best one that Michael Cole's done.
Very good interview. I thought that was done so well. What'd you think of the interview?
It's the reason why WWE is in the situation they're at right now is in no small part that they're just bringing up guys that can do it on day one. And Samoa Joe could do it on day one so much that he helped basically launch the international touring leg of the NXT brand, which is why he stayed down there so long. But he is where he belongs, giving promos like that, being an absolute murderer.
I think that's one of the things, man, where like Joe is a believable monster, you know, and like just like the inflection in his voice and the stuff he says, you know, like I'm here to slap people and take everything from them. Amazing, you know, and I think that's at some point that may have been the attitude that they wanted from Roman.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen because he's not that type of dude.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas like Joe has always gotten it, you know, he's always gotten that monster aspect of his character, you know.
Yeah.
And for that reason that guy will be a heel probably for the majority of his WWE run.
Samoa Joe.
And he should.
He should. I mean, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him being a heel, this badass monster heel. I can't wait till he goes toe to toe with Lesnar. Like that's a match I want to see.
Yeah.
Or when he turns on Triple H.
Exactly.
You know, like AJ Styles and him somehow have a match. I don't know how they would put that together, but like there's so many different pieces that they could do. Him and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I really want to see that.
Well, from this, you can glean that within the next few weeks, probably before Mania, you're going to get a Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe tag team versus Jericho and Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Because they're still part of quote unquote the Authority. And I think that's the reason why they did that little Triple H thing on Monday.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he still works for Triple H, and now he's got this guy that works for him too, you know?
Well, and I almost wonder whether or not part of that is going to play out on Fastlane, you know, that we see a little bit more of the solidification of that faction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we also saw – so we had the breakup happen. That's great. And then we saw the main event that I thought was great. Charlotte versus Bayley, and Bayley won the title.
Yep.
Very well done, by the way. People did not recognize at all. They did not recognize when the run-in happened.
What do you mean? They didn't recognize
Dana?
Sasha?
Dana Brooke. Yeah, they did not recognize her.
She's too much hair in front of her face.
Has she lost a little weight?
She has. She's competing. She's doing a bodybuilding competition, so she lost a ton of weight. She looked great.
Yeah.
She lost a ton of weight.
I think that's why people didn't recognize her. It's like, you know, what is Summer Rae doing running to the ring?
Really? Why does Summer Rae look jacked up?
We also got the
Seriously, yeah. Is Summer Rae really in? Is she doing CrossFit now?
We also got that weird Emelina thing on Monday.
Oh, gee. I'm curious. Okay, you're the one who talks to the people who talks to the people. Yeah. What are you hearing on this?
So this was happening. They delayed it for a number of reasons because she apparently had problems getting the character right. And they kept delaying it and then became like a big rib that they keep delaying it. Then they went through rehearsal, like this practice run, and Vince and some other people saw it and they go, no, this is fucking terrible.
It's terrible.
They wanted to make her into Sable.
Okay.
That was the whole idea. She was going to be Sable and like Tori Wilson and Sable and
like the elegant.
Yeah, but pretty much they wanted to make her into Sable.
Okay.
And they honestly thought she was going to come out and the crowd is going to start cheering for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they went through rehearsal and she could not get this character. Like,
wait, hold on. Whoa. They wanted a Sable in 2017
yes.
to be the good guy?
I don't know. It was something to do with the reaction. So maybe they wanted like this terrible. Yeah, they wanted to be the good guy. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yes, they wanted it to be the good guy.
Because like I can see a version, especially if Eva Marie's out of the company.
Mm-hmm.
That Eva Marie gimmick was hot for when they were doing it in SmackDown. I could see a version of that where like a 90s style diva. Like is like enough of this stupid belt. Bring back the rhinestones. Like let's set this the only way that women know how in a bra and panties match. Like you know something like that. I think that could be funny. I think she has the humor to carry that. But if they just wanted her to be the sex bomb, like
well, remember Eva Marie's gone, right?
Was awkward wrestler lady.
Yeah. See, like that's the thing because I think they missaddled her with this gimmick. And you know, like when she started out, when she was like she was this person.
Yeah, right. which again did not translate well to the WWE TV.
It worked for kids though because when they teamed her with Santino, it worked. And then she came out like Vegeta from Dragon Ball with the vest and the glasses,
which I love that.
That's my favorite Emma, like mean Emma with the sunglasses, perfect.
Yeah, Ginyu Squad.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been great with the New Day. They could have had the entrance together at WrestleMania.
Yep.
So they wanted to turn into Sable. So she came out and cut a promo like. Oh, they want Emelina, but I'm just, you know, Emma.
Emma's
and I just walk, and it was so confusing. Like, that wasn't scripted well at all. Like, I had no idea what just happened.
Well, people are saying that was like a half a shoot also, where she just kind of gave up midway and it was like, we're going back to Emma.
Well, that's kind of what they wanted to do, right? That was like what they had said, like, oh, you know what? You'll do like your shooting, and they made you do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't translate well at all on TV. It could be done. Let's see what happens next week.
That ladies' match was fantastic.
Very good match. What did you think of it, Justin?
I mean, those two are magic together. I thought the match was fantastic. I think Bayley is kind of at this point hitting, I think, a bit of another level. Because even at the end of her NXT run, I think she didn't exactly have the aggression that I think we saw on Monday. You know, the big question for me going out of this is like, is she going to carry the title into WrestleMania and then have it be like now the big thing is can they conquer Flair's like pay-per-view streak? Is the pay-per-view streak Flair's real title?
That's interesting. Maybe that's what they're trying to do is that she's, you know, and then she loses that streak eventually.
And Flair comes in still super confident because guess what, honey, I don't lose on pay-per-view and I sure as hell don't lose on WrestleMania. Yeah. So, and that's the big triumph in I guess the four way that they're setting up.
Yeah. Well, what's the thoughts on it's like it's going to be supposedly Nia Jax, Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley.
It's multiple women.
Women. And I heard rumblings that Victoria might come back.
Really?
For something? Yeah.
I heard someone about
a bunch of old divas.
Yeah, so I know that Lita has been training for a while.
Okay.
The idea was that Trish comes back, but Trish just had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's gonna be coming back, especially not from just having a kid. When did Mickie James come? Right, Mickie James came
NXT Toronto. Mm-hmm.
So November. So she probably had a kid like within the last couple of months. I don't think she wants to go out and wrestle 4 months after having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it may be Lita, but I don't think it'll be on the
Raw
side.
You know who is backstage?
Mm-hmm. Who?
Kelly.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's back.
That's right.
No, she's not back. I know nothing about this. She probably could have. Oh,
apparently she was backstage, and you know, I think it was Ryan Satin of the Pro Wrestling Sheet was making hints that there's some. Big old diva idea for WrestleMania.
Big old divas.
Big old divas.
Big old divas.
That's great.
I don't know what Kelly's doing, but I know Eva Marie is gone.
Yeah.
She's out there. She's. I don't know if it's been announced yet or not.
But it's like she's like 90% out the door because like she's doing all her own stuff now and she's posting all her own. Like I was in a business meeting about my brand, like yeah, type yeah, stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, she's doing really well with her clothing brand.
Great.
And selling protein shakes. So let's talk about SmackDown really quickly. SmackDown was, I thought it was a pretty decent show. The main event was great. Mm-hmm. John Cena and AJ Styles, once again, they picked up where they left off. Yep. 5,000 big moves and bunch of kickouts.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the ending? What did you think of the whole package there, Rich?
I enjoyed it. From top to bottom, SmackDown was a very concise show again this week. I really enjoyed the opening promo from Bray Wyatt. Was fantastic. Kind of cements him as a babyface. John Cena came out and kind of cut a total douche promo. Like,
he did.
He was
did,
like a douchebag.
He did his thing again. He's like, well, you won the title, but that doesn't mean you're the man.
Yeah. He's like, and like, it's interesting.
Sorry,
too,
bro.
Like we were saying before, it's like he's just alluding to the fact that everything should be about John Cena and AJ Styles. Like he's getting off on the fact that like finally this dude showed up and he can have 5-star matches every single friggin' time. You know? That's what that promo was.
I mean, Bray's a babyface. What do you call a guy who gets beat up before a triple threat match for his title and then winds up scoring the clean pin at the end?
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's not the bad guy.
But does that make Luke Harper the... Like, who's... Like, that's the interesting thing about this, where it's like people were behind Luke Harper during the Randy Orton match and during the turn. And now... Are people supposed to cheer for Luke Harper that he showed up and kind of like messed with Bray Wyatt before? You know, like.
Yeah, why? Why did he do that? Who are you cheering for there?
I mean, I don't think it matters. I think everyone's having a good time. And it's like, listen, Luke hates Bray. Luke hates Randy. And he's just going to interact with them. And Randy's very obvious duplicitous toward Bray. Bray's the only person that seems to have any restraint. He was the one holding them back. He was the one doing the pull-aparts.
Yeah.
And now he's the champion. He's, of the three, the satanic cult meth minister is the one that we want to root.
The babyface.
It's the babyface, yeah. So let's see where we go from here, right? Do you think Bray's going to keep the title after Mania? So what did they set up now? What's the setup now? Like, how do you get Shane... involved with AJ Styles?
I don't know. That's a good question, because that's the, like, your rumored matches are Lesnar Goldberg, Shane AJ,
Owens Jericho,
Roman Taker.
Jeez, Roman Taker.
And then a possible triple threat Wyatt. You have the four way.
Is
dance.
That what they're gonna do for the title? I don't think they're gonna do a. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you have that 2-on-2. The Cena's versus the Miz's.
Yeah.
Which
the Miz's.
He has to propose.
You think so?
He has to do the big will you marry me thing.
Will you marry me?
I mean, that is, for everybody that wants to make fun of that idea, that's all over the morning news. That's all over. Like, if what the WWE craves is mainstream press, the fastest way to do it is have John Cena propose to Nikki Bella.
And then give her an F5.
Yeah, and then give her an F5.
That's
how you do
and
it.
And then Nikki lock him into the STF that looks better than his.
That's true.
Yeah, her STF looks really good.
Sorry, I meant the AA. Yeah, to adjustment, not the F5. Yeah, give her an F5 too.
It's the same thing.
Good measure.
Yeah, give her an F5 also. It was called the FU. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the FU. Right.
That was their big feud. It was like the F5 versus the FU, 10 years ago.
Yeah, Battle of the Fs.
Yeah.
Who got F'd in that? Who won that feud?
Mr. F.
I want to say Cena won that feud.
Cena won that?
Yeah, because that was Thugonomics Cena.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Remember how terrible that spinner... I mean, all the spinner belts were terrible.
Yeah.
But that U.S. title one was so bad.
Why?
How did they approve that?
It was okay. For the time, it was okay.
Does anybody still drive around with spinners on their car?
Oh, sure,
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think there's a guy riding around in a big, giant black caddy with spinners on? Like 30-inch spinners?
I think in many ways the big boy never left. It's they're still spinning at a parking lot of some pizza shop somewhere for a car show.
The Usos got
the spinners.
The Usos definitely got some spinners.
Yeah.
You know, and even if they don't, they're gonna offer to sell you some that won't show up.
Would you guys be upset if Bray Wyatt cut a promo and turned his belt into a spinner belt?
I want him to just turn into a jack-o'-lantern. I just want it to be like a giant pumpkin around his waist.
At this point, I feel like there is no Sister Abigail. Like, there's no like secret.
But here's the great thing about that. Bailey.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Bailey's Sister Abigail.
That'd be ridiculous.
I love it.
You know, like, because you want somebody spooky, and that would be a great turn if it ended.
Spooky Bailey?
Is Nikki Bella.
She hugs you and she just kills you? Yeah. Who? Okay, you know what? I got a question for you, Justin. If somebody were to become Sister Abigail, who would you pick from the roster?
Well, Paige was the rumored one forever, right?
Yeah.
That she was Sister. She would have been great as that in that character.
She would have been the Sister Abigail. You know, I don't know. I think if you were going to do it, you know, just find some chick that's like. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like, how about Heidi Lovelace or whatever? One of the new indie.
Signees, yeah,
Nikki Cross, signees.
Nikki like, Cross,
and just have her not talk. You know, put her in a shawl, have her not talk, and then periodically she whips ass. Or Nikki Cross. I'm 100% on board with Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross might be.
You know,
wrestlers.
There's something really interesting about her. I don't know what it is yet. I can't figure it out, but there's something really, really interesting about her. She's really nutty, and she plays the character so well.
Yeah. You know who I'd pick?
What?
If I had to? Ember Moon.
Ember Moon as Sister Abigail.
Yeah. Because she's got that kind of same aesthetic. She's got, like, the eyes going on. That would be a good reveal.
I would pick.
Bring her out in a black veil.
I would bring out the genius.
Lenny Popo?
Lenny Popo was Sister Abigail.
Hear my tale. I have always been Sister Abigail. On these ghoulish seas we set sail. I don't think that would work.
I love him.
I don't know if that gets over.
I forgot how feminine he was when he wrestled. I remember him like as the poet, but I was watching a Saturday night's main event with him and Hogan in the main event.
Yeah.
And he's just skipping and doing cartwheels, and Hogan is becoming purple every time he does like one of his moves, and Hogan just nails him with the craziest lariat I've ever seen in my life. Hogan nearly ripped his arm off how hard he hit Lenny Popo.
I think because that whole gimmick was supposed to be him being like a real Poindexter.
No, but he became like a frilly dude.
Yeah.
Think Poindexters are frilly?
Just like you know, like a kind of like a nerd, like an effeminate nerd.
Yeah, he was like Enchanté.
Yeah.
Anything that we're missing? What did we miss, Rich?
Corbin attacked Dean Ambrose. You had Becky Lynch versus Mickie James again.
I love the ending of that match. I thought that was a great use of Mickie James with the big fake arm cell and the chick kick.
Yeah, I, you know what? I walked out of the room for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't want to watch women fight each other.
You know,
SmackDown, man, it's just tight. It's just a tight little number.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not bad. 2 hours, man. That's it. You're done. You're out of there. No worries. And a lot of people complain. They go, it was only 3 matches on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Was it only 3 matches?
Yeah. It was a couple more.
Was it? Or was it 3? Think about it.
It was Mickie James, Becky Lynch, the tag match, and then the main event. And maybe it was only that. Because there was another Natalya, Nikki segment. Bella pull apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was 3 matches.
No Miz this week.
There was no Miz this week.
No Miz.
Yeah, there was no Miz.
He's still selling the chamber.
Yeah, he was so terrified. I always have fun watching SmackDown, and we always say that it's a fun show. Now, there are a couple things here that we have to remember is going to happen this year. NXT possibly is going live. That was a rumored thing that would be happening, that they would go 2 hours in live, which I cannot see them doing at this
point. 2 hours?
Yeah. That was that they were going
to
do.
1 hour I can see, but I guess if you're going to spin up a live thing, you might as well do 2 hours to sell the ads to cover it, right?
I don't know what's happening with that. I've heard nothing regarding possibly them going live at this point. I think they're more freaked out about what's going to happen to that roster once Nakamura leaves.
Okay.
Because they've kind of hit a wall with talent. Acquisitions of talent, if you look at it. Chris Hero, I mean, obviously, that's a huge gut for them, and that kind of fills the place. But again, Chris Hero is not Nakamura.
Right, but
Nakamura was a great replacement for Finn Balor.
Yes.
And Samoa Joe.
I agree with that. But, again, you don't know how long Nakamura is still going to be down there, you know, because you want a Nakamura Chris Hero match. You want a Nakamura Bobby Roode return match, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get
but that'll be Mania. Like you're going to get Nakamura Roode at Mania probably for their NXT show. You're probably going to get the first big Cassius Ohno fight at the Mania takeover.
Yeah.
Like to me, it actually probably makes a little bit less sense to take it live just because it is unpredictable, like what you're going to have and what you're not going to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, even Triple H has said, you know, my job is just to make everybody look good enough that Vince calls me at like midnight and says, I want rap. And then the next day they show up.
So I'm curious to see what they're doing with that. And then the Cruisers, people are not very happy with what's happening with that roster.
I don't understand
with the show. Dude, it's the placement of it. Why? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to stick around and watch that.
Yeah.
You got to have it on before.
Because these SmackDown main events are barn burners. Mm-hmm. You know, and then John Cena wins or loses, and the kids got to go. Kids got school tomorrow.
Yeah, kids got school. It's 10 o'clock. You could get out. You could get out of the parking lot by 10:45. You're good.
Yeah.
They got to put this thing before the show. It's too much.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. And then what? At NXT in the tapings, they announced that they are doing a weekly UK show.
Is that what they said?
I think that airs next week is an announcement that they're going to do another special that leads into their weekly UK show.
I did not see that. So you may be right. So there's something interesting with TNA happening right now. They did that thing with Crash that's supposed to air tonight. Have you seen that?
No.
The Hardys go down to Mexico. Oh. They're in Tijuana.
Tijuana?
Yeah, and they're wrestling, I think, who's it? Hoovy and Psychosis?
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Super Crazy?
So Super Crazy and Psychosis,
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
But here's the issue. Meltzer reported it. The referee that was in that match... TNA got a cease and desist by Lucha Underground because he's a contracted ref for Lucha Underground.
Really?
So need to digitize the ref out.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Can't blur his face?
They may have to blur his face.
Give him like a pixelated face.
Because they want to air this. This is part. The whole show is based on this. So I'm curious to see what happens.
That's hysterical.
Jeff Jarrett, by the way, doing a lot of connections right now with Crash Promotion. They're going to be doing a lot of stuff with them, and they're trying to get with ITTV.
For GFW?
Yeah. No. He's running TNA now.
World of Sport, right? The new World of Sport.
The new World of Sport,
That's interesting. But GFW is still a thing?
It's not a thing. No, it's TNA. He's back in TNA. Dutch Mantel is back in TNA. Scott D'Amore. Scott D'Amore is back as well.
Yeah.
And they're writing the TV. Those three are writing TV now.
Does that kill? Are they? All I want to know is, are they Hardy friendly? Just tell me they're Hardy friendly.
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, they're the big draw right now.
Well, they need to just block out half the show. Give Jeremy Borash and Matt Hardy a couple cameras and just let them fill half the show.
That's it. Don't even do wrestling. Just follow Matt Hardy.
Yeah,
I'm whatever curious. He wants to do. He's like I want to fill out Valentine's. Matt Hardy, whatever. I don't give a
for
shit.
For like 2 hours.
Whatever he wants. Give it to him.
How about the failure to launch Lucha Underground on Netflix? Well, they were supposed to launch this week, actually yesterday.
Yeah.
And they had some contract problems, but they did announce it's coming in the spring. So the deal is done. Cool. We don't have the date yet. Probably next month or so. It'll be there.
Because season one was on... for a little bit, for like 2 weeks,
no.
And then they took it off.
On Netflix?
Yeah. Last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Season one was on.
Maybe Hulu.
And they took it. No, it was on Netflix, and they took it off like almost immediately.
Is that true? I do not remember that.
Because I remember
at all.
Being like, holy shit, I can watch all these now. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, it was like not there.
I don't remember that at all.
And I'm not going nuts.
Maybe you are. No. Anybody else
Are they
that?
Done? Are they screwed? Like, you know, because... Now you have half like what if Pentagon Jr. leaves AAA, he's out of Lucha Underground, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Ricochet's gone.
No, Ricochet's still there. Well, they killed him. They killed him off.
Yeah, but I'm saying he.
Like, yeah, but yeah, nobody can leave because their contracts are tied to when the episodes air, right?
Yeah, but it's also these guys have signed like a 7-year contract. It's like some nutty contract. Some of them have better deals. Like Hernandez was one of these guys that he left.
Right.
And he couldn't leave because he was still under that crazy contract. So there's a lot of ties to AAA. Mm-hmm. So with Pentagon Jr., I don't know if they would want to piss AAA off because they're kind of connected. But but Conan and them had Conan and AAA had a big falling out, and all these. I don't know. The AAA is in a really big trouble. I mean, the Mexican promotions are really. I don't know why they get. they have a lot of contract issues with a lot of these guys.
They don't seem like the most up and up businessmen, considering after what Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix left, they trademarked their new names.
Yeah, their new names. Oh, wow. But because these guys want to work in the U.S. So this is what it comes down to. They want to work the U.S. because of dollar. They make a lot more working in the U.S. And AAA wants money from this because they're booking contracted guys.
Right.
So their argument is, well, no, if I work the States, why do I owe you money? I'm not in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm not, because they still do like a booking office over there. And that's what pretty much these fallouts are about. It's about AAA wanting to take a cut from these in-game bookings that they get. So maybe they should get a hot sauce company. Maybe El Yucateco should. I put it all
open
over
up that show. Promotion. Yeah. Although the king of hot flavor, I believe that's something I would imagine seeing in a AAA promotion.
Yeah. I'm gonna make eggs and I'm gonna have some of this. Actually, look at this. Back to the hot sauce cam. There you go. El Yucateco.
Hit the sauce cam.
Yeah. El Yucateco. That's it for this week, guys.
Yeah, man.
Rich BTC Rich on Twitter. You can follow us at Madman Podcast. You can follow me at Andrew Zarin. Of course, Mr. Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter, 1-900-WRESTLING, available everywhere podcasts are available. Anything else?
No, yeah, that's it. I hope everybody gives 1-900-WRESTLING a shot. I mean, this is it's definitely a very different show than this one. We play like silly games and stuff like that. But,
yeah, I lost.
You lost. You did. You lost to me in slow-mo promo on Monday. So everybody go ahead and check it out. I really love the diversity of content that we can have as wrestling fans.
Excellent. Guys, we will see you all next week. Take care.